the baseball offseason is officially underway, and there hasn't been a ton going on. That said, Theo Epstein stepped down today. That is massive news in baseball. But in terms of player movement, in terms of big deals, nothing has quite happened yet. But we believe the Blue Jays are on the verge of doing something. They keep telling people they're going to. And now I think the hopes have been set so high, they better pull through on this, or people are really going to be rattled in Toronto. And to chat about it, we're joined now by our Jays and MLB analyst Steve Phillips. Even Ross Atkins, Steve, who doesn't say a lot publicly, doesn't give you a ton, even he has admitted that they're looking to maybe grab a big piece or two or three. I guess we should be bracing for something, but it's got to be, I think, one of Springer, Lindor, or Bauer, because if it's like James Paxton, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I won't be surprised if they get an impact player, but I'm surprised at how they're presenting it. Only because, look, I've been there where your fan base is hungry, your fan base has an expectation, but do you want to feed the monster? And because at that point, you better keep feeding. It's one that I would rather under-promise and over-deliver as opposed to over-promise and under-deliver. And here's the thing. The more that you promise, the more that people are going to expect and want, and even one big move may not feel like enough of a big move and, you know, to satisfy everybody. So it's an interesting approach. Everybody's got it different. I remember Brody Van Wagenen, when he took over the Mets, was like this bold, brash, you know, we're going to be the best team of the division. I think we're the best. We did this. And I'm like, wow, man, I tried this in New York before. You've unleashed the beast of expectation, and that could be very dangerous. That being said, I do expect them to do something big. I mean, I think they're in on Springer. They're in on Lindor. They're in on Bauer. You know, they're in on these guys to try to make. They may be in on a Chris Bryant, you know, as a trade. They may be in on some of these other guys who are out there. But, you know, the players have choices who are free agents, and teams have choices about what, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder when it comes to a trade. You know, maybe they're in on Blake Snell on a deal. That might be interesting. So sure, there's some things that they could be in on, but I would undersell it instead of oversell it.
Yeah, that generally is going to save you the blowback if you don't follow through, clearly. But people also aren't stupid. They look at this payroll and it's basically non-existent. You know, there's no reason for a team like the Jays, who are not expected and won't spend like the Dodgers or like the Yankees, but should be in the top 10. You know, should be a top 10 payroll. For them to spend money, because they're not committed to anybody, basically. Randall Grichuk, they're still paying Tulowitzki a little bit, and obviously Ryu, but Ryu's worth the dollars based on how he's playing. I guess you got one more year of, Roark, who you're going to have to pay unless you decide to cut loose on him.
$14 million.
Yeah, but yeah, for the most part, chunk. Steve, you're looking at kind of a blank canvas with your young pieces under control for quite some time. So I don't see why people wouldn't get greedy and go out there and get multiple guys. I mean, they could easily pay for Trevor Bauer and George Springer. Easily. And it would not blow the bank here in Toronto.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree. They've got financial flexibility and positional flexibility that they could be in on everybody because they've got so many moving parts. They can move guys around and say, oh, all right, well, DJ LeMahieu, sure, he could play second. We'll move Biggio to third. You want Lindor? Okay, we'll move Bichette over to second. Justin Turner can play third. We can do that. And you can still have money to go get, the center fielder and Springer and even add Bauer and maybe another pitcher and not be blowing the bank out of it. Does Bauer want a 1-year deal or a multi-year deal? Because that'll change the AAV by about $10 million. He might be 1 year at 35 and 5 years at 25. So, there's a lot of different ways to do this. And they should be creative. They should be in on everything. But I suspect the Mets are in on everything. I think the White Sox are in on Springer. I think the Angels are in aggressively on Bauer. So what's interesting is where they could be on everybody, there's at least two other teams or three other teams who could be in on each of the individual players, which could make the negotiating tough, and it could drive a premium. And the likelihood is that the Jays, if they get them, are going to have the biggest contract on the table for any of the players they bring home.
Steve, do you have any idea what the perception among ball players, especially the star players, is about coming to Toronto? I know they got Ryu last year, and in the past, Donaldson, Tulowitzki, they were coming here via trade. But just the idea of signing and coming to Toronto and committing to that, the taxes, the airport, the customs, all of it, do you know what the perception is?
Yeah, it's that you better give me the most money for me to go there. Then, once they get there, they love it. I mean, that's really the thing, is that, that guys have some doubts. Then when they play there, they realize what everybody raves about. But it's that initial getting over the hump that they figure, I have my family, I'm changing countries, I'm going to have to go through, you know, for my family, the hassle of coming up and going down. But I think that they easily get over that once they experience it. But it's going to take money. And so it typically, a guy's not going to come there to Toronto for less than he's going to make somewhere else. Now, unless they get to the point that they're all about, you know, to win a championship, and players want to say, my best chance to win a championship right now is in Toronto, I might take a little bit less to go there for a year and a season and make it an experience for my family. But, you know, the Jays aren't quite there just yet.
Sometimes in pro sports, connecting the dots is fairly easy. In Epstein stepping down in Chicago, there's an open position with the Mets. I'm kind of doing the math here. I mean, doesn't this seem like a slam dunk that he could end up as the GM of the Mets?
Well, so, you know, he's president of operations with the Cubs. And, you know, Sandy Alderson is president of the Mets. And I'm not sure that Theo wants to go somewhere and work under somebody where he's been the main guy directly going to ownership without having to report to anybody else. So I'm not sure.
Would they gas the president of the Mets to just make him president, or was he just recently hired as the president?
Yes, hired by Steve Cohen. Oh, okay. Coming in. So, and the Phillies are also looking for that guy. Now, every indication is Theo Epstein is going to take a year off, recover a little bit, because these jobs turn your hair white. And then they, you know, he'll try to figure out what he wants to do next. My guess is ownership level is probably where he goes, and it may be part of expansion. There will likely be expansion 2, 3, 4 years down the road. Dave Dombrowski, executive, is working with a group in Nashville to try to bring baseball there. You know, whether Theo joins that group or another group, but I think that's where he may go next, is to try to put together an ownership group for expansion. And if you get Theo Epstein as part of your group, you've got a pretty good chance of getting approval in the Major League Baseball circles, because he is very well respected, both with his baseball acumen and you know, his personal integrity and the way that he carries himself.
Yeah, he has a flawless reputation. I mean, he won a World Series in Boston and with the Cubs. No one else could do that for 86 years in Boston, 108 in Chicago. And I kind of get the impression like he's jumping off a sinking ship in Chicago. Everything I hear about the Cubs is they're looking to unload and sell off. That's why Chris Bryant might be available and others. Is that your sense as well, Steve, that it's going south with the Cubs?
Yeah, it's always better to get out a year too early instead of a year too late. And, you know, he had a year left that they talked about. He'd be there for 10, and he's getting out now. And I think it means a couple of things. One, you know, I think that it's going to be a bit of a struggle, and you know, do you want your last year there to be a rebuilding year? And if you're going to start rebuilding and the decisions that are going to be made this year are going to impact the future, and you already know you're not going to be there for the future, then it makes sense to step out. And so what that means is that they're likely to trade Chris Bryant, that they're not going to bring guys in to win in 2021. They're going to trade guys away to build for the future. I think that's why some part of that transition takes over. But Theo, you know, Theo, the thing about Theo, he's the curse breaker. You know, the next curse is Cleveland, but they got great executives there, right? That's the longest drought now, I think since 47 or 49, since they've won. But, you know, he is a fixer. He's a guy that comes in, looks at how bad it is, puts it together and finds a way to get that path to winning, but he's not been as good at sustaining the success. That's where he's gotten out. And, you know, he's getting out with not a mess, but not much of a farm system. You know, a lot of veteran guys, young veterans who are in the last year that they've got some financial limitations now. And so it's the right time to get out and move on to the next opportunity. It makes a lot of sense.
Always great catching up with you, Steve. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
So my pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst, Jays analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Experience the low-maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. Purchase in-person or online at MapleToyota.com. That's MapleToyota.com. Make the switch. Drive a hybrid. The Cubs are interesting because it's one of the top five brands in baseball. Third largest market in the league. Chicago is a massive sports town. The Cubs own that town for the most part. Yet it does feel like they're going backwards. And when they won their World Series, they've still been competitive. They go to the playoffs pretty much every year or every year. But it kind of feels like they're almost like, all right, we got ours. Let's hold on if we can. And now it's like whatever. We're going backwards, right?
About the window of opportunity when finances and ownership comes into play. Because what year was their World Series?
2016.
16. And before that, in 13, 14, 15, or whatever, they were always talking about the Cubs had got some young prospects. And then one spring training, someone was like, these guys got the best team in baseball. They ultimately win the World Series. And 16's not that long ago. They should have had a couple more kicks at the can, and all of a sudden now it's just being dismantled. So there's a window of opportunity, and now the Cubs seem like they're going to be starting from square one. And if the owner doesn't want to spend, how do you get to that next level again? Because it's just if you don't want to pay guys, it's that vicious cycle I talked about with OKC. You draft well, you bring guys up, and then when they become stars, they don't want to play there, or you can't pay them. It's like Ottawa. It's like, how do you continue to do it?
Like, yeah, but what
you got to pay them.
Difference. See, you're right. If you got that's the difference. It's financial. Where, like, why wouldn't you want to play in that city? Like, why wouldn't you want to play with that organization? That's the biggest thing. Is if they don't want to pay you, I get that. But like, that's one of the most desirable places to live on earth.
Absolutely, Chicago.
No kidding.
The Cubs.
Yeah, but if it was those players there, those star players you just mentioned, Brian, if he catches wind of this thing blowing up, why would he want to be a part of that? He's in the prime of his career.
No, I'm sure. Exactly. I mean, who knows what kind of roots he has there now? You never know with players. Every individual player has a different approach to winning and losing. You know, like we've seen it in this city. Matt Sundin being a great example. He just wanted to stay here and win here, and this was where he wanted to be.
And if that's in his contract, you can never fault the guy.
No, of course.
For that.
But no. You know, Chris Bryant, maybe he wants to stay in Chicago. Maybe he wants out. You just never know. Every individual player has a different viewpoint on whether or not they want to stay loyal to the team, whether they want to stay in the market. Maybe their family loves it there. Maybe they love it there. They have relationships. They're comfortable. They're uneasy with going somewhere else. All those kind of things have to factor in. But it does feel like the Cubs are going to take potentially a big step back. And, you know, if Bryant's going to be available, then is Javi Baez going to be available? I don't know. I mean, where do you draw the line on what you're willing to give up? Like, why stop at Bryant? If you're done and you're going backwards, who do you decide to keep? Or do you just unload everyone and kind of restart? But how does that go over
question.
In a market like that?
No kidding. I don't, they go crazy there.
They go crazy in Chicago. As they should, because the Cubs are still winning ball games. You know, they still have a good team and they're competitive. And it's not like they could be a piece or two away from getting back to the World Series.
Maybe
or
not.
Or an NLCS.
They got rinsed by the Miami Marlins in a five-game series or a three-game series, whatever it was.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, the Dodgers are not going anywhere in the NL, and there's some good teams, of course. The Braves are a good team. There's some good teams. But it's not like they were on pace to win 60 games last year. You know, like they are a legitimate team with some pieces. But things can change quickly, man. Things can change quickly. And they have. But they got theirs, so they're not going to complain. You know, using Toronto as an example, the Leafs, I would love to imagine and dream about sustained success and running it back in multiple cups. But beggars can't be choosers. You give me one, I'm probably going to be okay with that.
Right, and then you worry about it afterwards, like if they have to dismantle the group or whatever. But at least you've won. Like you've got that, you know, in your back pocket.
You've always got that memory.
Exactly.
Yeah, you've always got that memory. And it was pre-COVID, years before COVID. So it was a real experience. You maybe got to go to the park or you got to hang out at the Wrigleyville if you're in Chicago or hang out with buddies and, you know.
Yeah.
That just isn't the case right now. Hopefully it will be by next year.